Steris threw open the door to the governor's chamber, where he was holding his private counsel on what to do about Bilming, then held that door open for Constable General Reddy. He'd been invited to the meeting along with his staff. Today that included two other people, Constable Gorglin as record keeper and Steris. The governor sat at the head of the meeting table. Adawathwin immediately glared at Steris through dark brown eyes. The three senators, Lord Set, Lady Hammondus, and Lady Gardra, were in attendance as well as Ambassador Dahl, his expression unreadable behind his blood-red mask. The shorter man hadn't taken a seat at the table, but instead stood by the wall, his posture prim and sharp.
Ah, finally.
The governor looked up from the broadsheets.
Reddy, you... Wait, what is she doing here?
Lady Ladrian? Subject matter expert, on my payroll.
As of 15 minutes ago, at least. Steris had insisted he actually pay her, and she clutched the single coin in her fist as she shut the door behind Reddy. Then she stepped forward and sat down at the table beside him.
Did she tell you that I specifically excluded her from this council?
She did, and frankly, Your Grace, I thought that an unwise move. She's the wife of the man who alerted us to this crisis. When Lady Ladrian approached me and explained why I should employ her, I realized she'd undoubtedly have information this council needs.
The vice governor folded her arms on the table, scowling. But the governor, he nodded. Steris always hesitated to read too much into people's expressions. But now she wondered, was there a rift between these two? She'd always assumed Varlance was entirely in Adawathwin's pocket. But then, no person ever fit comfortably in a pocket.
Very well. I'm afraid we started without you. As the information has come in and we've gauged the feelings of Outer City's governments, we've come to see that our path is inevitable. It looks like war.
War?
It's the necessary course of action.
Lady Hammondus had a small gap between her front teeth, of the sort men often described as cute. As if it were the reason for her beauty rather than her flawless skin, delicate features, and long lashes. Curious how minor flaws became cute when their bearer also happened to be conventionally attractive.
The outer cities are building up for war.
Warships in Bilming.
Lord Set was a striking man, if you liked the smooth and well-dressed sort. Steris wondered how much work it took to keep one's rough edges so contained behind powders and soft clothing.
Railroad blockades to the south. Recruitment flyers in the roughs offering jobs for security forces.
Which is why we need to work so hard to soothe the situation and reconcile.
Better we should strike first. We've been ignoring the warning signs for too long. If we don't move soon, we will not be able to win.
Steris glanced at Lady Gardra, the third of the nobles in the room. The plump woman was much less of a war hawk than the others, far more reasonable. But even she nodded, reluctantly. And it did make sense. Every day that Elendil dithered gave the other cities time to build power. Elendil had the advantage of infrastructure, manufacturing, and coordination. But that wouldn't remain an edge for long. Striking first made sense if you thought war was inevitable. But it wasn't. It didn't have to be. This was the enemy's plan. She was increasingly certain that saber-rattling in the outer cities was a cover for whatever weapon was being prepared in Bilming.
War with what army? Elendil has barely 10,000 troops, and that's counting our navy protecting shipping to the south.
We have conscription plans in place, and we have a very capably trained constabulary.
Reddy seemed horrified by that statement. Steris had something to add, but she hesitated. Was this the part where she spoke? She could rarely figure that out.
My people are not soldiers.
Pardon, Constable.
Lord Set leaned across the table.
But no one is a soldier until they're trained to be.
We're needed. Law
will be under martial law. Policing crime in the city will get a lot easier with curfews. You can put excess constables into the military force.
Maybe this was the part where she should speak.
I won't stand for this.
Reddy threw himself, paradoxically, to his feet.
This is not the oath my constable swore.
You don't get to choose, Constable. I hold your commission and that of every constable in this city. They ultimately answer to me.
We can quit, Varlance.
Reddy leaned forward, his hands on the table.
You can't force us to fight.
Actually, that's precisely what a draft is, Constable Reddy.
I would...
Yeah? And who exactly is going to lock us up?
Everyone shut up and listen, or I will barf on the table to get your attention.
The entire room stared at her.
I'll do it. I keep medication in my handbag to produce the effect. You'd be surprised at how often the option is relevant.
Well, now she had their attention.
If we are worried about war, we should immediately begin an evacuation of the city.
No good. If there is war, we need workers to facilitate industry and to ramp up production of munitions.
Rusts. That was the correct answer. She'd hoped he wouldn't have thought that far forward. She glanced at the silent Malwish ambassador. What did he think of all of this? Had he anticipated it? She had always kept her focus on members of the Set in the Basin. But who was to say there weren't members among the Malwish as well? Rusts.
War is not the answer.
She turned back to the group.
It serves our enemies, not us. Look, I made a list here to prove the logic of what I say. I'm increasingly convinced that the leaders of the outer cities want us to be passing legislation that restricts and insults them. They want us interfering. They have built gunships and militaries, but they have not attacked. They caught Waxillium in their midst, shooting up a warehouse. But what haven't they done? They haven't expelled our constables or officials from the city. They've shouted about it. They've drawn up editorials. But they haven't attacked. Why not?
Because they need us to do it. They need us to give them a reason to go to war.
The common people of the Basin don't want to fight. Certainly not against Elendil, where they undoubtedly have family.
Or because they don't think they can win.
Steris looked down at her notes.
That's... unfortunately, a real possibility.
Why is that unfortunate?
Because if they know they can't defeat us in open war, they might do something desperate, like unleash a weapon of cataclysmic relevance.
Returning to your real point, this bomb you keep harping on.
My husband is in Bilming investigating it as we speak. He produced a terribly dangerous explosion in our laboratory using rare materials we know the enemy has. We have traced a set of test explosions in caverns underneath Bilming. Something is happening.
She met the governor's eyes.
And if our fears about a bomb are true, then the posturing, manipulating us into the position of a bully and tyrant who needs to be resisted, might be intended to give the leaders of the outer cities a justification, a way to explain why they had to take such extreme measures, like destroying us all.
The room quieted, but then Lady Gardra shook her head.
Are we really entertaining these fancies? Doomsday weapons, the real politics of the situation aren't enough.
Steris looked at the quiet woman.
She must be the member of the Set.
She assumed there would be at least one moving among the political elite of Elendil. For a while, she'd worried it was the governor or Adawathwin. But they were both too obvious. The Set liked to move beneath layers of obscurity. The governor was far too prominent, and Adawathwin too actively working for things the Set wanted. She was a decoy. She likely assumed she was the mastermind of her own designs. In actuality, she was just another puppet. Encouraged, but left clean, so that her eventual downfall wouldn't lead to real conspirators. Pooh included, smartly, the woman who was seen as the most reasonable, the most rational. Steris felt far more comfortable upon identifying her. It was like finding a snake in your intimates drawer. Yes, it was alarming, but at least you could close the drawer and know where it was. But how to steer the conversation in defiance of that woman? Ah, perhaps that? She turned to the constables.
This might be the right time to reveal yourself.
Huh?
Not you, Constable General.
She looked past him toward the lanky Constable Gorglin, the younger man with a long neck and freckles. So unassuming. He met her eyes.
How did you know?
Process of elimination. We were promised help, and Melon said there were multiple Khandra among the constables, but gave only one name. Plus, you walk awkwardly when you have to use a two-legged body.
Damn. But I suppose you're right about the timing.
Gorglin, Tensoon, stood up before the room of surprised people and made his skin transparent. Adawathwin drew back,
Harmony would like me to impress upon you the importance of our current debate, and to confirm what Lady Ladrian is saying. The Set is real. They are planning to annihilate Elendel.
Reddy gaped, then spun on Steris.
Why didn't you tell me?
I wasn't 100% certain until earlier today. I actually wondered if you were also Khandra Reddy. I decided against it, as I don't think Harmony likes his Khandra impersonating important officials. Except that once. Well, and that other time. But those were exceptions.
She flipped open one of her notebooks.
I've been tracking who might have been replaced for weeks now. See? Khandra attendant to the Constable General. Second most likely placement in the city for one of the immortals.
And the first?
You.
Steris flipped back a page.
But I was working with outdated information. A Khandra in your place would take far more care not to be an utterly worthless piece of slime.
She made a notation.
Oh. Did I say something awkward again? I do make that mistake sometimes, don't I?
Reddy slumped back into his seat.
I can't believe this.
It was all but inevitable that they would be among your staff, Constable General Reddy.
No, it's not that he's Khandra. It's that Rust's... Wayne was right.
I am Tensoon. I hate it when people do that. Harmony is worried, and so you should be worried. Especially as Harmony is unable to see certain things lately. We're working blind.
What can blind a god?
Another god.
So what do we do? We can't go to war, not if that's what they want, but...
There were no attendants in the room, just senators and the like, so Reddy answered it himself, revealing a young woman, a radio technician by her uniform, holding a folded piece of paper.
What is it?
Communication from Dawnshot. For Lady Ladrian. I thought it was worth interrupting you, even though the people outside said...
You did the right thing.
Reddy took it. The poor woman was pale and trembling.
You read it?
I had to transcribe it for you. That's how it works.
Reddy handed Steris the letter, and she unfolded it. The opening words, bold and dominant, leaped off the page.
Bomb is confirmed real and already fabricated. City-destroying capacity. Enemy is trying to find a way to deliver it to Elendel. It's time to evacuate the city.